Jenkins. Oakley.
Knight.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
Sie ist schön.
Kansas City is privileged to have the only World War I museum in the country. If you want to learn more about it, I commend that museum to you. But out of that grew a hope. Peace is possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. Saints, I welcome you this morning, and we're going to have some fun this morning, I hope, because this Christmas is a season of joy, of happiness, of getting together, and reflecting upon God's greatest gift to us. And so I'd like to start this morning. I want to greet you. Merry Christmas. Now, many of you have traveled to different parts of the world and have a heritage that comes from a different part. Mine is Swedish. And they have a tradition of Christmas and such. And first I'm going to start with Brother Jack, because he's going to share on the behalf of his dearly departed wife, Lila, who came from the Hawaiian Islands.
I'm sure that she will understand that this is not exactly the way it's said, but I'm going to try. Melikika gaika koka.
From Sweden, it's good year. Okay. Anybody else? From France? Anybody from France can say France? Huh? Joyeux Noël, Festive Noël. There we go. Feliz Navidad. Everybody knows. That's from Spanish-speaking countries. Okay. Italy, Buon Noël. Okay. All right.
I had the opportunity to spend Christmas. My first Christmas away was in Mexico, and I just enjoyed the culture there. Saints, this morning's service is all about Jesus as we celebrate his birth there. And so I invite you to join me in singing a song this morning. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. And all God's people said, Amen. All right.
Oh, come, thou bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. Dispel the shadows of our darkness into light.
In the Gospel of Luke, we read about the story about the angels appearing unto the shepherds, the birth of Jesus. In Matthew, we read about the Magi coming to worship the Christ child. In the third book of Nephi, in the Book of Mormon, we read about the miraculous sign of the night and a day, and the night appearing as one day, and a new star appearing. But there is a fourth story about Christmas. It is found in John 3:16. And this is the story of Christmas in a nutshell. And I invite the saints to read with me the call of worship today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God bless us this morning as we contemplate upon God's greatest gift, and we celebrate that gift in our lives.
Pretty hard to follow something like that, isn't it? It's beautiful. The scripture that I'm about to read to you, you wonder how in the world, what does this have to do with Christmas? But I think as we go through, hopefully, the rest of the sermon and so forth, that you'll understand why I use this scripture. And we're going to start reading from the 19th chapter of Luke, and beginning with the 8th verse. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by unjust means, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because the Jews taught that the kingdom of God should be immediately appear. And he said, Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called to his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a messenger after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much money every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin.
For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that which thou dost not reap. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, O wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, and taking up that which I laid down, and reaping that which I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have received mine usury? And he said unto them, Who stood by and take from him this pound, and give it to him who hath 10 pounds? For I say unto you, that unto every one who occupieth shall be given, and from him who occupieth not, even that he hath received shall be taken from him.
Prepare him room, prepare the way.
So good to see all of you here this morning. We've come this morning to worship. We know this is a very special time of the year. Not only because we're celebrating the birth of Christ, but also it's really the beginning of a new year. And as Jesus spoke here in the 19th chapter of Luke, something I really wanted to emphasize to us this morning, I know you mothers out here, you can relate. When the angel came to Mary and said, "You're going to have a child." "Well, how can I have a child? I'm engaged." "Fear not, Mary, because that which will be conceived will be by the Holy Ghost." And you know, when I was reading this 19th chapter, I thought about Mary and all of you mothers. Because Jesus said the words here in the 13th verse. He said unto them, he said, "Occupy till I come." Mary occupied. She received the Holy Ghost. And the Christ child was formed within her by the power of Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost. But there also was another situation where Joseph, when he found out that she was expecting, "What am I going to do? How am I going to divorce her?" Well, Joseph learned how to occupy also. When the angel came and told him, "Fear not to take upon you Mary, for that which is in her was formed of the Holy Ghost. Another, no man has touched her. It's the power of heaven that came down. And that child is being formed within her because of the Holy Ghost." But Mary did something also to another woman that was occupying. She went to see her cousin, Elizabeth. If you think about Zacharias and Elizabeth, who are well beyond the years of having a child, but the Lord wanted them to occupy. And we know Elizabeth conceived. And we know what happened to Zacharias. He kind of doubted that this could happen because of his age and her age, that he couldn't speak. He became dumb. But you know, through this process, Zacharias became very obedient. He would learn how to occupy. And just think about the baby John that was in Elizabeth when she was 6 months along when Mary went to visit her. And when Mary told Elizabeth what happened to her, the baby leaped within Elizabeth's womb. There was occupancy there. God had a plan, and that plan was being carried out. And there were those who he was calling to occupy till he came. And that's why I thought of you mothers. Occupying for that 9 months. Yes, going through the pain of that childbirth. But when that child came forth, what a blessing. The cries turned to smiles because you were occupied. And you know, the Christmas story to me is a plan of occupying. The angels occupied. They came because they were told to come to shepherds in the field. And you know, the shepherds were of the lowest state of any person. We know they were not even allowed, according to history, to even testify in court because they were the lowest, the scum of the earth. But who did Jesus come for? He came to those shepherds through those angels. And when they heard that cry from heaven about the birth of the Christ child and they were to go to see that child, they occupied. They did what was told to them. When they saw the Christ child, they rejoiced. What a blessing that came to those shepherds as well as to Mary. But also, I want you to think about the innkeeper. When they came to the inn, there was no room. I'm sure the innkeeper apologized. But they went to the stall, to the stable. A place where most of us, unless we were, I'm sure that Mary was, her time was there to bring forth the child, and so she was desperate. So they went to the stable. My grandson, Daniel, when he was just a little boy, he loved to go with me out to the chickens to pick up the eggs. He loved to be around when we raised turkeys. He loved to be involved with me in the garden. But he particularly loved the animals. He lives in Pennsylvania. Purchased a place of about, I think it's 5 to 10 acres. I'm not sure the exact amount of acreage. But one of the first things that he built, he went to a vocational school and became a builder. He built a shed. What do you suppose he put in the shed? The first thing was chickens. The next thing he built onto the shed, a place for his sheep, for goats. He even has a place for pigs. His wife, my granddaughter, wrote this to me. It's called an animal shed. One morning I was reading about the children's Bible story book about three adorable kiddos who read about the nativity of Luke 1 and 2. It's a familiar story to some, especially during this Christmas holiday season. The book illustrates the coming of the angel Gabriel to a lowly, untouched girl named Mary. The angel said she would be the mother of God's Son, Emmanuel, the promised one in the flesh. And it goes on to tell the story of Mary and her betrothed, Joseph, traveling to an insignificant town called Bethlehem. Nobody in that town had a comely bed for this pregnant mama. and her anxious daddy. They eventually found an animal shed. The Savior of the world was born in the night. I'm imagining my own animal shed right now. It stinks of poop. It's full of mud, wood chips, hay. The animals are making loud noises. How must Mary have felt to be given birth to a precious bundle of heaven from such a place? And yet Mary and Joseph wrapped their baby in swaddling clothes and laid him in that eating trough. They seemed content with God's plan, knowing he would be faithful to watch his own. Their joy filled the place and turned it into a haven perfect for the entrance of our King of Kings. This humbles me, our Father. Despite our despicable choices, made one perfectly loving and gracious choice. He sent his gracious Son, worthy of all honor, to be birthed in a stinking animal shed. Christ accepted lowliness. He adopted a servant's attitude, bearing the sins of all mankind. Bent his knees, all you who are moved to worship the King, bend your knees. For he was born, crucified, resurrected, graciously intervening on our behalf to justice, and will come again in great majesty to blow away our wildest hopes and dreams. Jesus occupied. How are you occupying? I thought about that. I realize at times I occupy and other times I don't do too well. But Jesus occupied every day of his life. Even when he was 12 years old in the temple, he had been instructed, I'm sure, by his parents and by his heavenly Father already. As he sat with the learned men, they were amazed at what he spoke and what he understood at age 12. And Mary and Joseph, as you know, they departed and were away two days' journey. And they were looking for him because they thought he was with the rest of the people, traveling people, but he was not. They returned to the temple because Jesus was still occupying, telling the message even at 12 years of age. And his parents were surprised at his words when they said, "Son, we've missed you. Why didn't you come with us?" And his occupying words were, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" How many of us can say that today? Know ye not I must be about my Father's business? Yesterday at the men's breakfast, I was really touched by Brother Andrew Neal, who had the theme, as he asked the brethren, "What has been your bright star this past year? What has been your bright star?" You might think about that, of how you're occupying. But I raised my hand and said, "You know, I want to tell you how I've been occupying." Sister Pam Barrett gave Lila and I, over 2 years ago, a devotional called Jesus Calling. And each day as I read that book, that devotional. And as I read also another devotional by Billy Graham about occupying, I've learned that Jesus Christ is here right now in this room. He is occupying right here. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm not going to let you occupy, be by yourselves throughout your life. I'm going to be here with you. Whether you're in school, whether you're at work, wherever you might be, at home or what, I'm going to be with you while you occupy. Don't worry. And I've learned that more and more each day as I've read that book and read the scriptures with it. We are not alone. We do not have to occupy in this life alone. Christ is with us, and He will be with us throughout our life. There's not a situation or not a thought that He does not know that's going on in your mind right now. As you are making decisions to better occupy your life, to become a better steward of your time. And when Jesus, we know that the scripture points out that how the people that He came, this 19th chapter, that He came to teach them how to occupy, they hated Him. They hated Him. We know the very people He came to save crucified Him. But yet, how did Jesus occupy on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They haven't found out that I'm your son yet. But they will in time. Because when I come out of that tomb, they're going to learn how to occupy, even in a greater way. And we know that's what happened to His disciples, who stood afar off at the crucifixion. But boy, when they saw the empty tomb and saw the risen Christ, they occupied, because they remembered the words that they'd been taught. They remembered the miracles, and they went out and did them because they were occupying as Christ wanted them to occupy. They were spending time in prayer. I think of the third chapter of Acts, and Peter and John, this lame man is there. And Peter said, don't look on us. But he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. And the man leaped to his feet and ran. And all the people that knew him said, who did this to you? Here's one way we need to learn how to occupy, brothers and sisters. The man, of course, said, when they were questioned, who did this to you? And they said, well, those guys there, those two men there, Peter and John. And they went to Peter and John, but what did they say? Don't look on us. It's the God of Israel that has taught this man how to occupy and has healed him. So when we leave here today, let's remember how Christ occupied for you and how He occupied for me. He gave everything that we would be able to return back to His presence, to be with Him on a daily basis, and to live with Him eternally. The Book of Mormon is so clear about this as well. When the people went forth one by one, he said, come and feel the nail prints in my hands. The marked scar in my side. They went forth one by one. And we know the fourth chapter, that third book of Nephi, talks about surely there was not a happier people that dwell upon the earth. They had learned to occupy. They shared what they had, not only by telling the story, but they shared of their possessions, that there was no poor among them. So we need to look through new eyes today. As Jesus said also in that 19th chapter here of Luke, he that occupieth, more shall be given to him. Why? So that you can give more. You can learn to occupy in a deeper and more profound ways, with greater understanding of how you're to occupy, how you're to give. So may God's blessing be upon you. And I want to close with this very last one. When John, I've already mentioned that he leaped within Elizabeth's womb. Think about when they met, John and Jesus. And remember that Jesus came to John to be baptized of him. And John says, no, I'm not worthy to baptize you. Third chapter of Matthew. But Jesus said these words, suffer to be so, John, for it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was sharing with John. I read that at a baptismal charge. When I was reading that scripture, that word us just jumped out at me. And I knew exactly what Jesus was sharing with John. He said, John, I want you to share with me in this relationship that we have now with my Father. I want you to share with me to know how much God loves us and how much he's going to be with us. Then, of course, we know that John heard the very beautiful words, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. And we know how John occupied. Even till his death, he occupied. God wants to share everything in your life. If you desire to be occupied in a full way, he will share with you things that you've never imagined. And you will be able to complete with joy in your heart when you are received into the eternal realms. The embracing of our Lord, saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm going to add these words. You've occupied well.